listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, accidentally impregnated on a crashed ship. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul gonna xenomorph his way into another alien podcast here that we're talking about, right?
No, we can't escape it when they keep releasing crap.
We've
watched the first two episodes, quote-unquote the premiere, the pilot, whatever you want to call it, of Alien Earth, which is now airing on Hulu. We're only two episodes in. I think the third one came out when we recorded this. By the time this gets posted, we may be on four or five, but we're sticking just to the premiere, because I think it's interesting to do a discussion just about this specifically. I'm sure at some point we'll revisit the whole series, either at the end of the first season or the second or something, but let's just stick to this premiere, because I think the premiere is an interesting point all on its own.
It is, and it wraps up at a point that's like, ooh, like, you got me wanting more.
Yeah. So, the thing about the Alien series, which we've discussed on multiple occasions, because we're both horror and sci-fi fans, and we desperately want this series to be good, is that the franchise as a whole has kind of sucked since Aliens.
A little bit. It has moments of clarity, but all in all, it's been subpar at best.
There are parts of Alien Cubed that are fine. There are parts of Alien Resurrection. I like the first hour or so of Alien Resurrection, and then it just completely shits the bed. Alien versus Predator is stupid, but kind of amusing, because it's Paul W.S. Anderson, and that's the only mode he knows how to make.
Right.
But there's a lot of real crap movies in there. The Ridley Scott return with Prometheus and Covenant is almost unwatchable. Romulus pissed us both off for different reasons, even though you liked it better than I did. The series has been sputtering, which is, as I've noted on my website, sad, because the Predator series is now firing on all cylinders.
They're on fire, right?
They got the right guy in charge there, and he's turned Predator around. Not that I think the Predator series has struggled as much. Predator 2 isn't great, and The Predator was ass. But it's had just as many hits as misses. So it's kind of been lurching, but it knew almost what it wanted to be.
At least these two have been very intertwined, right? Yep. Like, they have history dating back to, you know, the Xenomorph skull in Predator 2. And we were like, oh, is that going to be a thing back in, like, 1992? 30 years of this, like, you know, intertwinement between these two franchises that started 15 years even more prior to that.
And
so it's a really cool thing, you know?
The whole crossover has been good in, like, the video games. It's been good in the comics. People have gotten what they wanted. But to do a good crossover, though, you really need to have both sides of the equation firing really well, and Predator's doing well, so we need an alien to pick up the slack. And as much as Romulus was a success, the storytelling was bad. And I'm glad to see that finally we have something that actually treats the franchise with something like respect with Alien Earth.
Yeah, it felt really good. This has, like, the Alien Resurrection, like, kind of feelish to it, with, like, the way things look, but almost more futuristic a little bit, because it's not as military, but, like, it definitely has this, like, rawness to it as well. Like, it's futuristic kind of shitty technology still at some points, but where we are right here is, like, this beautiful, like, island in place where they have all this, like, really cool tech and all, but the ship that they start out is Nostromo 2.0 almost, right? Like, it's
meant to be.
Yeah, is the idea. So, and Mother's still a thing. So, you know, it's really cool to see some of, like, you get a little bit of fan service in these first few episodes, but they don't shove it down your throat too much. And the slow burn on the Xenomorph does it for me quite a bit, to be honest. There's more other species in this that you see more of, I think, than the Xenomorph for a good 2/3 of the first two episodes, I think.
It's interesting, because for something called Alien Earth, which teases that whole concept, like, you got the Nostromo style ship, you have the idea that Weyland-Yutani is, like, trying to capture these deadly predators so they can do something with it, which recontextualizes the first Alien movie, which is now, because this is a prequel to that, so it's kind of, like, running almost in parallel, and shows that the corporation had interests that they weren't really, like, letting you privy to at the time. So there's stuff that's really fascinating there, but it is also this thing of, like, as much as that's the focus for the first opening scene, it then dovetails away and completely ignores all of that and introduces hybrids that are synthetic humanoids but have human minds transferred into them. It introduces all these different alien creatures that aren't the Xenomorphs. It lays down a whole thing about the five corporations that rule Earth and what their goals are and how they're competing. And it only starts to bring the Xenomorph in really in the second of the two premiere episodes, and still kind of keeps things teased for a bit until like the last act.
Yeah, the last act, you get a lot more of the monster and does, you know, his or her thing. I can never really tell with these drones, you know, if they're male or female.
I don't think it's a queen, so probably a he.
It's definitely not a queen. We know that much for sure. Yeah. But, like, in the scene, like, and I'm not going to spoil it too much. You know what I'm talking about. When, like, the guy's talking to the guy at the apartment.
Yeah.
And, like, it's the shot over the guy's shoulder. I recognize it right away. And then I see the turn. I'm like, oh, that was, like, a shot that was Alien from the first, but, like, was really good at the same time. Like, I liked it because you that kind of a shot we've talked about before can be done in a way that like looks cheesy and stupid. And this like it gave me that like feel that I got watching Alien for the first time. Like, all right, now I'm excited because you got this cool tech, this cool upgradedness, new androids, new synthetics, all this stuff going on. And now you're giving me like a little bit of that Xenomorph here that like just works for me. It's not, you know, it's not jumping out of the walls, spanking its tail around. It's being stealthy, it's being its thing, it's right there and you still don't see it, and that's been missing for me aside from when they're stalking predators because they're trying to kill each other.
Well, and it does a good job of trying to show you, like, if you're a fan of the series, if it shows you things you recognize, but it does it in such a way that it's reintroducing if you've never seen it before, and it never feels like it's doing a callback. Like, there's late in one of the episodes, some of the characters end up in a Xenomorph, like, effectively a birthing chamber, where it has the eggs and the stasis with the blue light. That's a reference to how they were stored in the very first Alien movie when the human crew lands there to investigate this planetoid. But it's not a call-out that makes it feel like, hey, look what we're doing here! There's never any of that Alien Romulus-style call-out bullshit that annoyed me so much. They're never sitting there going, get your hands away from him, you bitch, or anything like that. It's not force-feeding you the references. It's just saying, this is the world we're in, this is how the tech works. Like, the ship of the, that's not the Nostromo, but is basically the Nostromo. All the stuff in there looks familiar, but it's not saying they're going, well, it doesn't, like, hang a hat on it by going, this is the Nostromo 2 or the Nostromo 0. Like, they don't go, you know, that Nostromo's going to launch soon. They just, they let you feel the vibe. They let you see a crew that feels familiar, a couple of handymen, so that you can be like, okay, so they always hire a couple of these, like, janitor jockeys, basically, grunts, this kind of whatever. Shit. Yeah. But it's never force-fed.
Right. And the dynamic, like, you see these people and you're like, oh, this crew, like you said, they've been together.
Yep.
There's the same kind of distrust among certain ones of them. You know, they already don't trust the android, but they know who the android is and all that kind of stuff. Like, and it's, you know, he's looking at you while you're sleeping. He's like, I don't do that anymore. Like, it's just seemed like this weird familiar dynamic without shoving too much of it down my throat. Like, hey, like you said, look what we're doing here. Like, it was familiar yet different at the same time. And I think you put up a good point, because I think you could come into this knowing what the alien is, sure, but knowing the monster, but not knowing the story and be able to pick this up and be like, oh, okay, I could see where this is maybe the genesis of where this franchise is when you know this is supposed to take place beforehand. Like, you can get it, and it works.
Well, that's the thing, is like, by not force feeding you the callbacks and the references and the comments on the plot, like, there is no Bishop-style character who's headless sitting there going, well, you know, David made these things, and this was all an experiment stretching on for 100 years that just stops the movie cold and requires you to know two previous movies that no one ever wants to watch again.
I feel like these almost cut out the whole thought that David is the creator of these things.
Even if he is, so, who cares? Who gives a shit?
Exactly, who gives a shit? Like, Michael Fassbender's a great actor, but those movies are bare.
Well, you can accept that David made these things at some point and then dropped them on a planet in stasis and maybe sent out a Weyland-Yutani message being like, hey, come pick these up and send a crew to get these. And that's as far as he did, maybe when his batteries were running low and he finally died. Who knows? Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily even matter. Again, we haven't seen past the first two episodes, so if any of this has been changed continuity-wise, we don't care. But it does mean that when you come into this, if you don't know those movies, if you don't know anything, if all you know is a xenomorph, and even if you don't know that, this series gives you the little drips and drabs of it to keep you in and keep you invested without having to make you go back and watch anything. It's not a homework series.
You don't got to go watch 16, 18 hours of content to understand it. You know, you can come in and it's fine. And then the people that are fans like you and I can come in this and appreciate what we're seeing and be like, hey, I'm into this. You know, I feel excited now about where this can go. It's 8 episodes, I think, is what they have for the first season.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if they'll all be the same length. The first one was quite long. I think it was about an hour. I think the second episode was maybe like 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's a Hulu series. It's going to be whatever it is.
I think, yeah, there'll be a 53 in there somewhere, but most of them will average between 42 to 48 minutes or something. And then the finale will be like an hour 10 or whatever it could be. But like it doesn't feel like it's broken up too much so far. It felt like 2 episodes that folded into a nice little package movie that has like, okay, what's the next few episodes going to be? How are you going to keep progressing here? I need more of some of these characters. I'm into it. It's good.
I wouldn't be surprised if this gets treated a lot like how, because it's done by the same creator, Fargo and Legion were, where each season is basically one long, almost movie. I mean, episodic for its stories, but a long movie. But then when you get to the next season, it's a different movie, and it generates its own internal energy. Like, I never felt like we were dragging things out in this, because there's so much to introduce in the first thing. The first episode has to introduce us to the ship. It has to introduce us to our main heroine, Wendy, who's a synthetic with the mind of a 12-year-old, I think.
Give or take,
12-year-old young girl. Teen, sure. And the other synthetic children that are basically, they're adult size now because they're synthetic humans. But they're children that were going to die because, as we're told very early on, not a spoiler, the only children have a mind that can take being switched to this new body. An adult couldn't take. It's like you don't pull an adult out of the Matrix. Essentially the same kind of vibe.
Where my brain went as soon as I heard that you can't free a mind past a certain point, the mind has trouble letting go.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, unless you're Neo and you're the one. And you know what? Maybe Wendy's the one. She is built different, according to her maker.
They did say that. They show us she has basic hacking powers that are unlike anything any of the other child robots have. Yeah. And they have to introduce Wendy's brother, who's still human and alive and thinks she's dead. Then all the little bits of plot here and there that they slowly feed out to us, almost Quentin Tarantino-like, bouncing slowly back and forth between a few time periods to give us all the details. It's a lot to introduce, and it's a lot of story, and I think the first 2 episodes deftly handle it without leaving, at least for me, as an audience member who, having seen the movies but doesn't know where the story here is going, didn't leave me in the lurch.
Yeah, and I like some of the interesting shots and stuff done throughout the episodes, like the flashback portions where it's almost like you're seeing like a holographic projection of what he's seeing in his mind, and then like, you know, things are fuzzy around him. It was just really interesting camera work and shooting with some of the shots that they did with the brother, especially when he was doing flashbacks and all that. I dug it. I thought it was cool. And like, you have your space marine groups in there because we got to have the rough and toughs. And then you have your idiots over there because we got to have people that die. Like it touches on the familiar notes, but it keeps it good. And like, I don't know exactly like who's the bad guy yet. Is it the guy who creates it? Is it Timothy Olyphant, who I had no idea was in this, and I'm ecstatic to see him in this, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know who's the bad guy yet, and I like that about something when I'm 2 episodes in a series that I'm enjoying.
I think it's a many antagonists kind of thing, because you get the vibe that each of the corporate types are really in it only for themselves. Like the dude, the prodigy, the genius boy, whatever his fucking name is. I think his last name actually is Boy, which is kind of funny. He creates Wendy, but you can tell even after he creates her, he's not doing it altruistically. Maybe, yes, he did save her life, and that's great, but long-term, he's like, and I can use this tech somehow to maybe transfer myself at some point if we can get past that adult barrier. We need to like, you can see the gears, the not very intelligent gears spinning in his head the whole time. And like Weyland Yutani is just the faceless evil entity, even though we see the president once. So they're evil. But you are right that the synthetic played by Olyphant is he's got his own agenda. Like, is he working for Prodigy, or is he working for the synthetics? Because he acts like some of the things he says and some of the things he does make it seem like he's really acting for synthetics, and he's only working with the prodigal son until such time as he can screw him over and steal tech and do his own thing.
He has motives, and he has motives, and I want to know what they are. And like, I can't tell, like, in the beginning, I thought he was human when I first met him, just like a cold doctor. And then as it goes on and on, I'm thinking like, this guy's got to be an android. Yeah. And then like, you get like the true reveal, like this person definitely is an android. And you're like, oh, like, I love that I didn't know that at first, but like, now I get it. And the way he's like, you know, telling him to do things, he's like, I need you here, like sending him into harm's way, but like, okay with it because they're synthetic too, and he's synthetic, making the best choice. Like, it's kind of cool, like, to see. And Timothy Oliphant is a great actor. I loved him in a lot of things that he's done. Gone in 60 Seconds was great. I thought he was awesome in Hitman. He was fine in the Die Hard movie, but he's just a good actor.
I mean,
Justified is another one. An amazing show. Yeah.
No, like, so, I like seeing Oliphant. And it's interesting seeing him in a character that's definitely not the same charismatic type he always plays. He's a little different here than normal. But it is interesting to think what his agenda was. Because, like, he was saying certain things. But, like, when working with Wendy when she did her transition, like, the doctors were like, well, you're going to have these emotions and they're going to feel different because we're synthesizing them. And he's like, you don't have to have those emotions at all. You're synthetic. Yeah. Don't be human. And he keeps, like, emphasizing the don't be human, even when he's dealing with humans, that he should be, like, helping them with their task. And at a certain point, you're sitting there going, so what do you even care about these humans? Because I get the vibe you don't.
Yeah. I don't know what his motive is yet.
No.
Like, and you brought up a good point. Like, who is he working for? Is he working for Prodigy? Is he working for Weyland-Yutani? Is he working for himself? I like where that character's going.
That the continuity of the later movies is all holds. So, like, Alien Resurrection and all those still holds. The synthetics eventually end up working for the synthetics as their own thing. They start making their own synthetics, like, second and third generation synthetics made by themselves that get weirder and more emotional and have different, like, the Winona Ryder character in that Alien Resurrection movie seems to have her own fucking agenda the whole time. If we accept all of that, then I really think he's not in it for anything except for the furtherment of, like, synthetic kind.
And I would like that, like, being an angle too, because we never really got that. We you know, like, you call from Alien Resurrection, Winona Ryder's character, like you said, like, the when they find out she's a cyborg, he's like, oh, you're one of those that's made by those, like, the guy. He's like, I never seen one of you before. Like, I thought you was all destroyed. Like, so it's pretty cool to see, like, is this, like, the beginnings of, like you said, the synthetics being out for themselves, and is this the start of that? Like, we've never seen that angle before. So, I mean, cool. It's a neat part of the story that I didn't know I'd be interested in. And if it's part of it, I'm actually interested in it.
Well, by affixing us to the synthetic with children minds, but synthetics as our main protagonist, because Wendy is our heroine, our protagonist. Say what you want. She's there chasing after her brother, who's not Peter Pan, but okay, so the boy is Peter Pan, but and he's got a Peter Pan complex, most obviously. But, like, she's there to save her brother, or the male protagonist, whatever you want to define him as. The two of them are clearly the ones that are supposed to make it through the series, and I mean, it'll be heartbreaking for her if she loses him. I assume he dies more than she does, because she's our heroine. She's the one going
on
like a whole, like, hero's journey sort of thing. But it's a synthetic that we're attached to. We're not attached to a Marine or a Ellen Ripley type like we have been for the last 8 fucking movies. Like, this is a different perspective, and I think it's a perspective that, as you were saying, is overdue, because we haven't really gotten that at this level before.
We got a little bit of, like, the synthetic motive with David, but a much different motive at that point.
Ridley Scott's movies or whatever.
Yeah. It's just, like, whatever, But, like, it's cool, and, like, I want to know what happens with these new synthetics as we go along. Like, they're even when they're in the adult bodies, they're still talking like kids. They're giggling like kids. Like, they're being kids. But you see Wendy just a little bit different than
more evolved,
any of them. More evolved. So, like, as they go, are they going to progress? Are they going to get more complex emotions? Like, are they? Is fear going to win out here? Like, what's going to happen with these? How is this going to go horribly wrong? And I'm excited to see it. And I don't know who's going to make it out, who's going to make it. I hope the brother and sister both. You're probably right that the brother doesn't make it, because we have to have that hero's journey. But I mean, maybe not. Maybe the brother makes it and she sacrifices herself. Like, who knows? All I know is, like, I'm in for these 8 episodes. Yep. And so far, like, I'm enjoying what I'm seeing, man.
I think the thing that I like best is that especially with like the Ridley Scott movies and many of the later ones, the emphasis became too much on the aliens, the xenomorphs. Like, from Alien Resurrection on, basically, like, we are just getting xenomorph storytelling with heroes interspersed throughout. This series keeps the five different alien types that we have, which is not a spoiler, that was in the teasers, the five different alien types that we have as, like, a taste. They're the threat. They're the thing in the background that's lurking. They aren't the sole focus. And even though the plot is built around this ship with these aliens crashing into this building and Wendy has to go in to save her brother and yada yada, like, they're still being used as an accent point. We're not too obsessed yet with them. And I like that because that's what the Alien series really needed. It needed us to be hooked on the characters and, like, the who, not the why for.
Right, and, you know, pretty set pieces can only go so far, and you need more substantive story. We talked about it with Marvel. We need to give a shit about the characters to have some kind of investment in the story. Like, the story can only take it so far if I don't give a fuck if you live or not.
I like Wendy. I think she's a great character.
I like her quite a bit. I think she's very interesting. I think seeing the evolution of her over 90, 100 minutes so far is an interesting... You can see she's grown already just in that little bit, and it's only going to keep getting better, I think. Like, as she, the actress, she's doing a really good job. I don't know what else she's been in, but, like, I'm liking how she's portraying this character.
And it's a smart move making her synthetic, not just because it's a different perspective, but it means that, say, the series wants to jump ahead 70, 80, 200 years between seasons. She can look basically the same because she's synthetic and can run essentially forever. I guess hook some solar panels up to her once in a while and she starts moving again. I don't know. It allows this series to propel itself forward in different eras of the Alien franchise without, like, having to recast an entire new group and teach us all new characters. At a certain point, that would get tiring. It works in Fargo because Fargo is all about the case. But, like, if we kept shifting characters over and over again, there's only so many times you can do that before. Like, I don't know if I like this cast as much. We're going to like Wendy. Wendy's great.
Yeah, Wendy's great, and I haven't grown attached quite yet to any of the other. I mean, we'll just call them Lost Boys because that's what
pretty
they're
much.
Really leaning into.
They're
here.
Kind of named after them too. Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, that's kind of the whole point. You know, Neverland is where they are. This leans hard into the whole Peter Pan kind of, like, Angel of Death theory. I think, you know, that he was the one that came and took kids who died and took them away. Like, that's they're really leaning hard into that angle. I think
I hadn't heard that before. That makes sense. Yeah,
really. Yeah, that Peter Pan was an angel that came to dying kids, and that's Neverland was heaven that he took them away to. That's the whole theory, like how dark Peter Pan really is. This feels like it's leaning into that. You're taking these dying kids, you're putting them in this new body. And you're taking them somewhere where they can have a future, but they're still little. So it's very cool. Like, I like that angle too. I didn't know you didn't know that was, like, a theory. I thought that was a big focus point of where this series is going.
Adds a layer to the story that I hadn't picked up on. That's cool. Yep, interesting. Yep. I liked it. I liked these first two episodes. I think this is a great spin for the Alien franchise, and I think it's really going to, like, Noah Hawley is really good at what he does, as proven time and again. I think he's clearly got a good hold on the franchise and where the storytelling could go. And he has an idea of what to do here, and that's really a good idea. It works so much for this franchise because we've had way too many bad ones.
Yeah, like, I like what Fede Alvarez did with the horror element of Alien Romulus. I'm liking what Noah's doing here with the storytelling, character world building thing. Like, I like where both of these were in different aspects.
So, I'm hopeful for where this is going. Obviously, we'll revisit again at some point in the future when we have more of this series under our belt, but I don't think it's hard to say that this is so far the best Alien production we've gotten in almost 40 years.
I mean, it's oh god, man. Yeah, 86, right?
86. Yeah, I know. Oh. We're a year away from that. I honestly, there's a part of me that wonders why they didn't just save this for a year and put it out next year so it was on the 40th anniversary of Aliens. Like, it seems appropriate, but...
It does, but I mean, that's the way... You gotta get it out when you gotta get out. This was supposed to come out, 5 years ago almost? It started filming right before COVID.
Oh my god,
2019.
We were supposed to get, a version of this, something like this, from the District 9 guy, and then he dropped out after a couple of his ideas were rejected, which is fine, because the District 9 guy hasn't made a good film since
District 9.
Yeah. Chappie and Elysium are...
Chappie's okay, yeah. Elysium...
They're both eh. So I'm glad that we finally got Noah Hawley on it. I'm glad he's got this perspective on it, and I'm hopeful for at least the rest of this season, if not the future of the series.
Yeah, and we'll see where it goes, because this is giving me something, like you said. We got the Predator that's been coming along. Now we're getting a little bit of Alien that's coming along, and like, I'm into that. Like, we're getting a bit of the DC resurgence here with Superman. Like, I'm into that. Like, it's been Marvel and what kind of horror? I guess Final Destination, whatever, because you talked about that a bit today. Like,
it wasn't bad.
It was... I'm going to watch them. We're going to talk about that. But like, it's been a lot of like whatever, and these old franchises have kind of like fallen off. There's a bit of a resurgence here that I'm enjoying to see. Like, I don't drop and lose me over these next six episodes, because you're doing a really good job so far.
They are, and we are looking forward to more. This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, and yes, this podcast was accidentally frozen for 80 years in the future. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy, Mike the Ghoul. And isn't Chappie just District 9 with a separate skin at the end of the day?
Does that make Matt Damon Chappie?
It does, right?
We will see you all next time.